This is a HeadGum Original.
Ooh! Are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're gonna do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the US. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use, unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like, they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're gonna love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings. If you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're gonna love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%, oh my God, 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Stella the Two-Throw, sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
Whoa, ka-ka-ka-koo, everyone. Thank you for listening to the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Podcast. I'm Manu Agapian. This is Drag Her, the only resource for queer people and straight allies to learn about this little adorable show that's chugga-chugga-chugga-lugging along RuPaul's Drag Race. I am joined today by a goddamn gem, a longtime friend, a comedian, a writer, a podcaster, and a bona fide bitch. It's Mark Rennie.
Hello, it's me, the bona fide bitch, apparently.
Yeah, I think you're a bona fide.
I like it. I do like Elton John's The Bitch Is Back. That's a fun one.
It's a fantastic song.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about the Tina moment? Because Tina did it with him at one point.
Sure.
Mm.
You don't like it, I'm sensing. Look, you're giving a little stink face.
I think it's
the
not
bitch is
my
whack,
favorite.
You're saying
the bitch is back. The bitch needs crack.
Crack.
Needs it. Needs it.
You know
it.
What you need? Crack.
You know my favorite song. Oh God, what was it? The Elton John song they did for "I'm Still Standing." They did it for the finale of UK season 2. God, that was good.
That was fun.
Weren't
those good times?
Those were great times. And you actually, this is fun. We've been sharing a WoW login. So you've been really...
This is true.
We've been sharing a WoW login. You've really been going back into the annals of Drag Race
right.
History.
I'm getting all the kernels.
You've done the UKs. You've done some Canadas.
I've done like two I did 3 and 4 of UK, then I did like 2 and 4 of Canada, then I did season 2 of UK versus the world and season 1, and then I did Canada versus the world.
Talk to me, since we're still in a therapy moment over the ending of UK versus the world season 2, what'd you feel about that finale?
I love Tia Coffey.
I do too.
It was crazy that like Manila left though, because she's like incredible.
Oh yeah, oh Marina.
Marina.
Yeah. I just thought that was really crazy kooky. I think Tia Coffey's unbelievably talented, so funny, so charming, really special, but it just was weird the way it went down for me.
I think it is that thing though, like Marina just didn't make Rue laugh as much as Tia does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's I hope Marina's coming out of this a winner regardless. You know what I mean?
I think so. I mean, in many ways, when you're robbed like that, you're almost, you get more people come to your shows.
You book more seasons. They could come back on another season, I would assume. Another All-Stars probably at some point.
I'm sure. I think you get reconstituted, put right back on that assembly line. Like
that's what I really like about the versus the world ones, is that they're like the internationalness of it all. That like, oh, I would have never watched the Holland season, most
likely.
Yeah. Because I've learned, I watched the first episode of, I think it was season 1 of España, and I've learned like, oh, this is one of my favorite shows to have on while I'm doing something else.
100%.
Or like just listen to, or like playing a game on my phone or something.
100%.
It's hard, but like whenever I do pay attention, it's good, but I'm just less likely to.
Of course. It's so hard to give it your full attention, especially since we know the format. And especially
exactly.
If you're like, even if they're doing, you know, it's in Spanish, but they're doing the do a choreographed dance. You're like, I can't pay full attention to this. I've seen this episode in another language 88 times.
Exactly. I know the rhythm. I know the beats. I know when to go into the kitchen to walk away.
Exactly.
It's going to be fine. They're just learning choreo and it's seeming dire that they're never going to get it, but then it's fine.
Wow. She's really stinking it up, but wait a second. She's doing all right.
It's always so weird that I like what the pretense that this is the only time they're learning the choreo, apparently. But also, like, you have to watch other people learn the choreo and vice versa. Like, that's such a weird circumstance. Like, couldn't I be practicing my own? Instead, I have to watch you learn yours.
And they force you to comment on it. I mean, and we all know that it's obviously no secret that it's like you have to have opinions while your sister is doing choreo, which I'm sure is like very weird and hard, and it's a weird meta moment to be like, oh, can I just support her? Okay, I can't. Your legs look tired, sister. You know, like you have to give them you have to give them what they want.
Yeah, take those cows out to pasture.
Hey,
something moo like moo. That. Moo moo.
Moo moo, you fat hog.
Now that's just rude.
That's just awful. Mark, I want to get into season 16. I want to get into this episode, which I thought was a good episode.
It was fun.
But first, I have to do a little, I just have to do a little report on the status of Mark Rennie. There's a lot of things changing. Your podcast is evolving.
It's true. There's a new era.
Tell me a little bit about the name of the pod that we used to know as Two Old Queens.
It's formerly Two Old Queens. It's now Jonna's moved on to bigger, better things. So I'm carrying on.
God bless.
And it's now the Big Gay Movie Spreadsheet.
Love
Patreon.com/Big Gay Movie Spreadsheet. Hello. Links below. We're looking for the gayest movies ever using a complex Byzantine scoring system. You've been on a number of times.
I think twice. One of the ones I did was Scream. Am I right on that?
You are right on that. You did some other ones. I don't remember what.
And then I did another one.
More than twice, I think, though.
Maybe. It's really fun. Do you guys still do the thing where like you add a new category every time or at some
point? We do. Well,
every
they get
time.
Added to like a wheel. So there's a random.
Oh, okay.
Now. So there's not a never ending. We have over 250 categories now. But we only go through about 40 in an episode.
It's so fun. It's so fun to do. It's so fun to listen to. And it's fun when you agree or disagree on how gay a movie is. Like, because there's a lot of fights and disputes on what makes something gay or gay coded.
Right. I just did an episode on Pearl. And going in, I thought, oh, this has got to be, from what it's been a couple years since I'd seen it, but It's gotta be pretty gay, right? Then I watch it like, oh, wait a minute. There's nobody gay. And there's not one gay moment. There's no homoeroticism in it.
But she
in my
feels
head,
queer to me. She feels so queer to me. Cause
she's definitely
like,
an icon. You know what I mean? Or at least if someone's not doing her as a Snatch Game character, there isn't a big opportunity.
The big
I wanna
smile,
be a star.
The yeah. smile into camera. I also feel though Pearl is so like, she's so, her discontent of men to me feels lesbian. Like,
but she's also attracted yet disgusted by her own attraction. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, I think she's just repressed. I think she loves men too much.
And doesn't she have that weird moment with her friend? Like, she has an almost lesbian moment with her friend in Pearl.
That's what I remember. Not really. She axes her in the back. She chops her up. She more has weird inappropriate moments with her father. She's like taking a bath with her invalid father in the room.
Jesus Christ. That movie is so
scary.
But
one of the new categories we have is like, how excited would you be to see this in a gay bar? Mm-hmm. So our Moneyball episode, not very excited. But Pearl, I would be excited if that was playing in a gay bar.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's so it's so funny and weird. And it's a really divisive movie because some people find it slow. I find it haunting. And in a good way, it's like haunting and weird. And
well, yeah,
and
like
that
slow
David Corin sweat. Oh, my God.
He gets my Corin sweating.
He really does. I hate how susceptible I am to an all-American type like that.
I know, and I was going to be Superman, but I think he's like bulking up too. He's going to bulk up too much. He's going to be on that human growth hormone.
My pants are bulking up thinking about
it. Thank you. Because you're stuffing it full of cum rags.
Exactly. Mark, one more thing. You've also been on an insane journey. I have to hear a little bit more about. Because
all right.
You have been on a really wild medical journey. Can
this
we
is
just
true.
Get the Cliff's notes and
yes.
what you feel comfortable sharing? Because I think you've been thriving through it with such elegance and grace.
That's very kind of you.
Talk to me.
Okay, back in December, I got a rare bacterial infection called Shigella, which led to a condition. Now, if this isn't a great drag queen name, I don't know what is. Toxic megacolon. Toxic megami colon? Maybe?
There we go. Surprisingly good this episode. Yes. Toxic megami colon. Okay, keep going.
So I ended up being hospitalized because essentially my colon was inflamed. Mm-hmm. And then I was in the hospital, ended up being in the hospital for 22 days, but I had emergency surgery to have my colon removed. So I no longer have a colon.
I know. Isn't that
and
nuts?
I'll never have a colon. And that's been wild. And so I've just been living with the, like, you know, I got a living with this ostomy bag. I have a new digestive system. Mm-hmm. I've never had, it's not sexy, but I'm used to it. So there you go.
There you go. Wow. You're really doing it. The story is harrowing. I will be plugging your GoFundMe because it was a harrowing, that's in the podcast description below. You really came out on the other side, the stronger, smarter, funnier.
That's very sweet of you. You know, it's like kind of, it's like, I never had like a, I'm a single gay man in my late 40s. And I've never had like a wedding. I've never had like a, I've never won a major award. So I've never had like, this is like the first life event. People came out of the woodworks and like I got the support, you know what I mean? So it was like best of times, worst of times. It's been awful and wonderful all at the same time.
Yeah.
So just the support of friends and family and complete strangers has been like completely overwhelming. It is, I think it's maybe why I'm not so like traumatized by the whole experience that I have felt like supported. And that's been amazing. That's really makes all the difference. And people don't know how necessarily to help. So I found, don't be afraid to ask. Don't, because I used to be afraid of like, this has been a good lesson for me, like being afraid of asking for help. Because I used to be, I don't want to be a burden or my needs are too much. But people want to help. And like the more direct and specific you are, they want to do it. Like I told one friend, like, do you need anything? I was like, oh, I don't know. But then I thought about it for 30 minutes. And I was like, you know what? There's a specific body wash I like at Target.
Mark,
so
that's really
that
good
for me.
Mark, I love that for you because I've known you since 2008. So yeah, absolutely. You're someone who's with every right is like takes care of themselves. But maybe that is a very good life lesson to be like, it's absolutely okay to lean on friends.
Yeah.
Because they want you to and vice versa.
Yeah.
I'll come lean on you and be a real pain in the ass when I have a medical life event.
Exactly. You brought me soup and we watched Mommy Dearest. I mean, what more do you want in an evening?
That was healing. It was really funny to be on a healing journey also watching family trauma. It was really funny.
Bleak. Surprisingly funny and bleak at the same time.
It really is. It's another reminder that we're so fucking weird as gay people. What, like, yeah. the things that we can laugh at some pretty traumatic things, like Pearl, because we have to? I don't know. Right. Everything's camp? I don't know.
I was wondering, like, has there ever been a drag look that incorporated, like, an ostomy bag? And I think that's, like, a missed
opportunity.
Room to grow. Like, if you, like, made a big cartoony version of one during an act, you know.
Missed opportunity by season 13 queen with an ostomy bag. Forgetting her name.
Her name's not Missed Opportunity. I thought that was her name.
Missed Opportunity. Fuck. I can't believe I'm forgetting her name. She fought with Candy Muse every fucking day. She sold us sneakers that never came.
Right. Didn't she have was she the one who had I'm going to have a streaming service?
Yeah, she had a streaming. Tamisha Iman.
She has a ostomy bag?
She had an ostomy bag on season 13.
That's cool. So there's a girl on, I think it's Traitors UK season 2 who has an ostomy bag. And I was like, look at her. She's on the Traitors. She's living.
Look at her. They'll never know. They'll never know. She's defying gravity. She's defying the bathroom.
She's defying her digestive system.
Right. Okay, I'm ready to talk about this season. Mark, we're in the season. We're at this fun reunion. Fun tea on how this reunion happened, which I thought was really interesting because there was a gap between the last episode we saw and this reunion, which you can kind of tell on some people's faces. Like, to be perfectly honest, I felt like Safira's teeth have been refreshed. I feel for some reason, I felt like Plain Jane looked trimmer. But there has basically, they filmed All Stars in between filming this.
Why did that happen?
I guess because there's no live finale this year and they wanted to do a reunion and finale, they basically took a gap in production that was when they filmed All Stars 9.
And apparently built a new stage.
Yeah, wait, let's talk about that immediately. Is that the new forever stage or the new stage for today?
I assume that's forever because it was they've massive video screens now. They have the graphics that were very Just Dance to me and sometimes very distracting.
It was Just Dance. It was distracting. It seems familiar to the set they had for RuPaul's Secret Celebrity Drag Race. No one wanted that, so they put it here. But it felt like a weird time to debut a new main stage, didn't it?
It was just an awkward placement. Like, why now of all the time? And the only thing, I'm so used to the other stage that, when you're, flipping channels, as if people flip channels, but, there was a iconic look to the original stage that you know in a second. And I think this new stage is just kind of anonymous looking. You might as well be watching So You Think You Can Dance or America's Got Talent. It just kind of it doesn't have the uniqueness.
I agree.
Nerve or talent.
I think you certainly no charisma. No, I'm with you. It felt a little generic to me. I expect Nick Cannon to come out of the wings and pop out a baby.
Impregnate somebody.
Yeah. What did you think of Q going home right before the finale?
I was relieved.
I was too. It was it was the first joyful thing that happened in that episode, I thought.
Yeah, I was fine with it. There was Q had some sort of, Q's very talented, I think, but they just had a sense of inevitability
privilege,
or privilege, entitlement. I deserve this. I confessed a status.
I agree.
They're very active on Twitter, so I'm going to watch my words carefully.
Who cares? But I mean,
fair enough.
Don't be, first of all, who's active on Twitter anymore, girlies?
Thank you.
It's 2024. Bots. fucking, it's zitter and it's over. Twitter's over.
You're not afraid to go there.
It's over. And also, who cares what your fans are saying? You know, ignore them. Yeah. We're not on the show. You are.
Yeah, we're losers on Twitter.
Thank you. Thank you. What did you, any interesting tea before we get to this insane amount of lip syncs? Interesting tea between the girls, like Amanda hating Plain.
I really liked how I was a big fan of Amanda. I thought she was really fun. I thought, like, you know how you make your stats in like an RPG game and video game?
Yes.
She put all her points into personality.
I agree. And
looks,
no magic.
Everything else and nothing else. But no, personality through the roof. And I really liked how she was just so unbothered by Plain Jane's, like,
I love that.
Lame attacks. Like, I really thought that was like the perfect deft way to handle Plain Jane. Of like, what are you talking about?
It was funny. Yeah. You're like, no HP.
No, yeah, attack. Like, you're not getting to me.
No attack. She did not attack. Just all magic and charisma. It was, I love her. I was really glad to see her come back and just be likable. I was glad to see these girls. I actually think this is one of the best episodes of the season.
I like this more than a reunion because I usually find the reunions pretty boring. One time I went to like, I don't think I saw any of the previous season. I didn't see any episode except for I went with some friends to Precinct to watch it live and it happened to be the reunion episode. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, this sucks. You don't want to watch, who cares about a reunion episode in a bar?
I know. It's definitely not a bar episode. And it's like, if a reunion's going to work, it has to be people really throwing shit on each other like they're housewives.
And everyone's like pretty nice now.
Yeah, everyone's pretty nice now.
They're not like they used to be.
They're not like they used to be because it like affects their booking. So, for example, housewives can be mean because they don't get booked by a club for 1,000 people to buy tickets to see them. So it's like no one gives a fucking shit if
you don't want
to
see Ramona Singer do like a 15-minute performance of something.
I would absolutely, if Dorinda got into singing, I would absolutely go watch her sing I Made It, a remix of I Made It Nice.
There you go.
That would be fantastic. But I think
what
it's a little different.
What if your son died? What if your son died? The Shep Pettibone remix.
Oh, hell fucking yeah. I'm trying to think of, because Luann did get into singing. We all know that.
She got into it.
Erica Jane.
I don't know if she got through it, but she got into it.
Oh, fuck. Erica Jane. Yeah, she got into it. Into a jail cell.
Thank you.
That saga is absolutely gaggy to me.
Which one? The Housewife and the Hustler? That one?
The Housewife and the Hustler, part 1 and 2 on Hulu. It's so good. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about these lip syncs. People have things to prove. We have a new stage. And holy shit, the top three look so good. Let's just say that right now. The top
three. I love
three,
Safira's hat.
Oh, Jesus that Christ.
Giant hat is so fun.
She said, I will be the queen, historically, the queen with the biggest drag on this show ever.
Yeah, by volume.
By volume. It is so insane. I like all three of their looks, and I have to say, I like this top three, and I like how even Plain Jane, who we love to hate on.
Sure.
Her point of view is clear in this look. They're all big chirps.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just fine. A lot of googly eyes, I guess. Sure.
Like, is she saying all eyes on me because I'm a monster? And
or
like,
is she like, you know, like a panopticon is?
Oh, yeah. Evil jail like system from the 1800s.
Yeah. Am I like a prison warden from hell?
Right.
Like, you never know if you're being watched.
Right. You're in jail. So you can't even, you know, the door is unlocked. But the second you go out into the hallway, there could be a guard waiting right there or not.
Or like she raided like the Acme warehouse in Roger Rabbit.
It is that. Like, I mean, you could, anyone could criticize this look, to be perfectly honest.
Sure.
But it's kind of fun. It's fun and it's clean.
It's executed well.
And look, I'm the first one to hate on her. Clearly, I will say Nymphia and Safira are better.
Right.
Because holy shit, look how gorgeous the tiger makeup face is on Nymphia.
Amazing.
Sickening.
But also we finally get a different silhouette from Jane, so I think that helps.
Yeah,
this is adding some dimension.
This is. So we have also, oh my God. Actually, we're going to talk about how confusingly set up this bracket was.
That was like seeing something. It reminded me of like something you'd see in like Super Smash Brothers.
I know. To me, it was
Nintendo element of like, wait, what, how does this work?
To me, it was as if an 8-year-old was hired to do the bracket. And they were like, and then this person goes curly Q to the 8th round. It was like, why? Right.
But if it's Sunday, then they have to like call their mom and get her to answer a trivia question.
We're going to talk about that, but first, silence, Mark Rennie. I feel like taking a break. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Bring back my break. We're back. We're doing this lip sync Lollapalooza that looks absolutely insane. We got Bruno moving the balls around, deciding Queen's fate. Do you find Bruno attractive?
No, of course. What are you saying?
I gotta say, very attractive, but I think I'm over it.
Well, we've seen him. Do you want some more variety? They used to like go through these more. Maybe it's like because COVID times, they can't like, we have our old reliables now.
Sometimes people get so attractive, it like loses meaning for me.
Well, also maybe you like seen him, like you're used to it after a while.
Right. I'm known to throw men away. So I'm sure. Over it.
I did like, you're the Marie Kondo of hunks.
You're not bringing me joy anymore. So I have to fold your bones up and put you in a closet.
Every time they would cut to the panel and he was sitting there,
it was ridiculous.
It was like having like a Muppet there. Or something.
It was ridiculous. It was so dumb. I was like, why?
Why is he there? Why'd you move him there? He's not speaking.
Give him a seat off the stage. Don't put him behind the judges panel. He's not a judge.
Yeah, or let him say something. Why can't he even say, good job?
Ridiculous. Okay. First round is we have a man. Dawn gets picked first. She gets to pick her opponent. She picks Amanda Tory Meeting because she's pretty sure Amanda Tory Meeting is going to pick Damaged. She was right. This is a fantastic song to me. What do you think going into this lip sync?
I never heard this song before.
What?
Not Mark? A big Danny DK fan, unfortunately.
You haven't heard this huge chart topper?
Never heard it.
Whoa. Was it fun on the first listening or you thought it was hell?
Couldn't tell you what happened. It made absolutely no impression on me whatsoever.
This was a P. Diddy. Uh-oh, canceled.
I figured they were like from the House of Diddy.
Yes, they were a making the band moment. They were a made band with Audrey O'Day. Crazy big eyes, Audrey O'Day.
Sure. Our friend Steve Slog is always bringing up Audrey O'Day. Audrey?
Whatever. Audrey? That's a very Steve Slog reference.
Oh, during this, though, there was a moment I wrote down, like, Plain says during this, Amanda is leaving it all on the stage, honey. And I just thought, like, I don't think drag slang comes naturally to Plain Jane. Like, it feels like an affectation. Like, if you don't feel comfortable saying it or using it, don't. You could just say, like, she's doing great.
Plain Jane is the poster child of post-COVID trauma. Like, we're so disaffected. We're numb. And she's the poster child for it. Like, I said this in the past, but when Q revealed her status, she says, kudos for spilling, for saying that. Like, that we're all so traumatized, we can't feel anymore.
I don't feel anymore. Like, good for you.
Did you agree that Amanda took this lip sync over Dawn?
Of course. I mean, was Dawn even on the stage? Like, why bother? Dawn could have just, I didn't even watch. I don't even remember anything Dawn did. She rolled around a bit. There's a lot. I feel like people are going on all fours more than they used to.
Yeah, it is. It is not a great crutch. You need to have a really good reason to go on all fours. Because if not, it just feels like you're just getting comfy.
There was later on in one song, Morphine said, like, this song is giving sensual. It's giving woman. And then she just goes on all fours.
Yeah.
That's what sensual woman is to you, going on all fours.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know if it's like sensual or womanly.
Yeah, I will say she did deliver the emotion on that song, but
absolutely. But I thought of these two, yeah, you gotta give it to Amanda. Wow, she was better than Dawn. Congrats.
Fuck. It is pretty gutting these first couple rounds because it's just like, oh yeah, they're just picking stinker. They're being very bald about picking the quote unquote stinkers.
What I think was fun about this episode that it was all like kind of like it did seem like all of them, and I think it's one of the reasons why Megami did so well, is like it was pretty low stakes. Like you could just have fun.
Yeah, you're right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like I feel like there was like a looseness. Everyone was just there like kind of being more silly and loose. And that's why I feel like Megami did so well. I think maybe she was in her head less than she had been before.
Yeah.
And just felt free to let loose. Cause like even if you win, it's not like life changing. You know what I mean? It's like, the penultimate episode. You're not winning the show, but it's a fun thing to win. But also just go out there and be silly. And
it's like, also I like hard,
that they did that.
Really hard to win this episode. I think it should be, to me, the winner of this episode, it's as if she won four challenges when you think about it. Because
right.
The number of rounds you have to impress and do something interesting and fun and funky and fresh for RuPaul to get to that last round is... That's a lot, especially as in these first rounds, you see how people's reveals are just peeling off of them because you could tell they even like want to save reveals, but they're like, well, what the fuck?
You can't because if this is all or nothing, you know, you have to do it every time like it's the last time.
Right. Like when Q at the end of this lip sync. So we have Q and Megami.
Did you think I thought she looked like, it reminded me of like Hallmark gift bags with like the tissue paper sticking out of the top.
Oh my God, Mark, you are eviscerating her. And I agree. Yeah. It's weird that Q has... amazing seamstress ability, but maybe not taste.
Sure. She's not the best lips. Like her idea of emotion is like pumping her fists.
Yeah, she's doing the pearl. I mean,
like that thing. She does her a lot of hand work.
She's raising the roof. It's pearl smash.
But
for
it feels
the
more like the
fans.
Roof is being slowly lowered on her, like in some sort of Indiana Jones-esque like contraption.
Yeah.
She's like pushing. No, Q's in here.
Yeah, it was no cues in here. To which Indiana said, oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Hold on, I'm I'll so stop sorry. It. Yeah, this one was again, Megami surprising us, surprising everyone. But I will say this. I've said Megami won her original lip sync against Maya in the Flowers episode. I said that, and I feel vindicated in saying that Megami knows how to give a specific lip sync, and she had, even in the when she got eliminated, she gave a better lip sync, in my opinion.
Right. Because she can do, like, she kept, like, saying, like, I'm not a good choreographer. And, like, well, I don't think mm-hmm. choreography is essential to winning a lip sync. I don't think we're watching it necessarily for just right. the dancing.
This is a Janet song, and it was a very funny and wicked.
I knew this song.
Yeah, this was, we knew the song, but it was a very smart, wicked move to say, oh, it's a Janet song. Who's known for choreo? I will pick Q and kill her.
I mean, I think you're probably safe with any of these songs to be Q, though.
Ooh!
Like, is there, what song do you think Q would, like, crush?
Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Oh, I see. any lullaby.
Any lullaby, anything that requires sitting and humming.
Sitting quietly, slowly curling into a ball and falling asleep.
So next we have Morphine. We have so many lip syncs. Morphine picks Geneva, and she picks Million Dollar Baby. Oh, fuck. We all remember very well. Oh, Geneva. I want to like Geneva. She's wearing a very silly drag queen 101 outfit. Like, just like the most basic.
AI to design a drag queen outfit. This is what it would be.
Yeah, I think it's from Sequin Queen. It's like the, which again, as a disgusting drag queen, I will go to Sequin Queen and buy a cheap dress, but.
Is this a website or an actual physical location?
It's a website. Sequinqueen.com. That's sequinqueen.com/drag her. I wish. No, but okay. We have Morphine v Geneva Carr. Geneva Carr peaks an Ava Max song.
I never heard this song, and I was like, oh, I wonder if this is not about a boxer dying from a brain injury.
This song. It is a suspiciously titled song.
I was like, oh, the tone of this song is very different from the tone of the movie.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like having like a dance song to like, you know, Life is Beautiful or something.
Yeah, I get like, is there, I haven't even heard, I didn't even listen to the lyrics, but I'm dying to know, are the lyrics inspired at all by Hilary Swank's journey in Million Dollar Baby?
I couldn't be bothered to Google the lyrics of Ava Max's Million Dollar Baby. If I'm being honest, but from what I heard, it just meant like, I look rich. And isn't that impressive?
Yes, which is very funny. And Ava Max to just pick an incredibly, a dark title of a movie, do no investigative journalism, but be like, this is the perfect name for my song about being a rich cunt.
Yeah, or like Hereditary is like, I have a dance song called Hereditary, and it's like, I come from a long line of rich bitches.
Yeah. I'll just be like, I want like a really cute, this song is cute. It reminds me of being a nice little barnyard animal. Silence of the Lambs.
There you go.
That's the name of this little banger. Okay, so I mean, clearly Morphine kills it.
I thought Morphine was incredible. I love the arm spinning and checking her nails at the same time.
That was amazing. And this, God, I felt bad for her because she really wanted to hide that. She wanted to save that wig reveal, but she was moving too much. And so I liked, yeah, that was amazing. That was
really fun.
That and wig nail thing, being bored while doing the windmill is going to go down in Drag Race history. Yeah.
And then I loved when she like pulled her hair up and then went into the splits, that moment right there. I thought that was so cool.
So cool. She's
really a great performer.
She's a fantastic performer.
I also
think
like any of these queens, if we actually saw them live in person, we'd lose our minds.
Absolutely.
And like we should talk them so easily, but like in person, we'd be like, oh my God.
You have to be unbelievably amazing to get on this show. That's an absolute fact.
It's a given.
So, you know, we're here comparing it for the sake of podcast entertainment. But
I really liked Morphine is like one of those queens also who like, they win you over and they're talking heads too. Like, I think Dawn was pretty fun in the talking heads. I thought she gave pretty good talking heads. So like, oh, that's why part of the reason I liked Dawn. Was I ever surprised or sad when she got kicked off? Absolutely not.
No, but I did like Dawn. I wanted more for her, but she didn't want more for herself. But
she'll be fine.
She'll be more than fine. She's a young buck. She's like 21. Oh, now Mirage, I know. Mirage has to pick who she's going up against. We're all very invested in Mirage's journey.
We love Mirage.
We love Mirage. She was one of those ones who went home and we were not happy about it. She picks Hershey to go up against, but Hershey does not pick Khalees's milkshake. She picks, what song does she pick?
Alone 2.0, how could you forget? With the so unique vocal stylings of Kim Petras. Like, is that obviously Mark. That's Kim Petras? I mean, she sounds like nobody else in the world.
Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry. You think Kim Petras has a unique sound?
Mark. You are eviscerating our queen, Kim Petras. I actually do like
it. It does not
does it surprise you that I like this song?
No, yeah. You have terrible taste in music.
I sure do. I sure do have awful taste in music. But also, this is a reprisal of Better Off Alone. How can I not like this song?
What you the hell is Better Off Alone? I don't even know what Better Off
you
Alone
don't,
is.
You know Better Off Alone by Alice DJ.
No.
Yes, you do. This song. Do you think you're better off alone?
I don't know. I was listening to Guided by Voices in the
2000s. What the fuck is that? What are you saying?
Annoying college indie rock.
That sucks.
It does.
That's stupid. You know you're never going to hear it in a DJ.
I know the name. Isn't it the last she spells it out DEA?
Yes.
I know that. So I've seen her name.
She doesn't believe in abbreviating.
No, she has time to spell it out. So what's it? Do I have to spell it out for to you? And she said yes. So she really phoned it in, this thing. She didn't really, she just kind of walked around.
I liked it. Okay.
You did? I thought she just kind of like walked to the left, walked to the right, walked to the left, walked to the right.
Okay, she didn't give a lot physically, but her personality to me shone in this. Like, she was funny and like, I thought she looked really beautiful.
Gorgeous. I liked Hershey.
The comedy moments
she chose.
The brief
time we had together.
We sure, just like a Hershey's kiss, gone too quickly.
Gone in a second.
Melts moments in moments. but truly, I thought she was funny, and maybe I'm biased. So disagree with me, please. I thought she was funny. Yes, Mirage won, of course.
Of course.
I thought the moments that were funny, I was like, oh, I really
what are these moments
love.
That are funny? That's what I'm not getting. What
she
are these
did
funny
her,
moments?
The fake, that's fair. That's fair, though I disagree. She did the fake twerk. She killed the rap, the verse with Nikki. And
sure.
When she slowly just walked, the slow walk in front of Mirage doing a stunt, I thought was really funny.
I guess.
Well, listeners,
I guess it's like the mumblecore of lip syncing.
As I'm famous for saying, listeners, pipe off. Tell us what you think. Please. Was Hershey funny or was she forgettable?
I mean, I was only how do you not watch Mirage?
Mirage is amazing. That I thought was funny. I'm sorry, I thought that
that's funny.
Was
that
funny.
Is funny. You're right. That part's funny.
But Mirage is gonna win this one. Mirage is cunt and beautiful and clicking and clacking. Yeah, we're excited to see her come back. She wins.
She's got to do Vegas Live, right? She's got to be in that. She's from Vegas, right?
And she's from Vegas. She'll certainly do it. They would be more than lucky to have her.
That show just goes on all the time, right? And they're just constantly rotating.
Yep. Let's go back. I know didn't we go once?
I haven't been. You have been. I want to go. I want to go.
Let's go. I've been twice. I'll go three times. I don't care. I'll watch. Sometimes it's the same number back to back. I'll do it. I'll go again.
Great.
They always make the girl of size do This Is Me. That's a true fact.
Oh, no.
That is a true fact. They always make the biggest girl in the cast do This Is Me. I'm a bigger queen song.
When I try to think, because I'm always trying to think of the song from Greatest Showman, in my head, I always think it's called Freak Like Me. But that's the song from the Spider-Man musical that we saw.
I can be a freak. I can be a freak. The Spider-Man. We saw the Spider-Man musical together.
We did in New York City.
Holy shit, Mark. That was dark.
Talk about memorable songs.
That was so. Remember we were like, there was like all these rabid little children running up and down the aisles.
Losing their shit.
Awful.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about this three-way lip sync, which is crazy. And immediately has two girls going home as a result, right? Two girls go home after this
That's
one.
Right. The structure of how they did the whole thing was weird. Insane. Of like, we see the girls in the back room watching on the TV, but they're not allowed to see the reveal. Yet we know who's being sent home. So who cares?
Yeah, they only like once or twice edited it correctly where we
it's
were
a surprise
surprised.
To all of us at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise, like, yeah, we know something they don't. I guess I feel better. I don't know. Who cares?
I do, you make a great point. I do have to say before this even starts, Maya Imanla Page's outfit is really, really, really bad.
It's very, it reminded me of like, oh, she's like a 1880s vampire queen.
Yeah, I thought just none who fell into red paint because it looks
oh, no.
so flat. It looks, it's so flat. And what, I was like, what? I get well, you're going to reveal, but still.
Yeah.
You got to go home for 2 months and you brought this back? No.
But she was better than, I did think Plasma's wig was very Dorinda Medley. Speaking of Dorinda Medley, which she revealed.
Who was like, Dorinda?
She revealed a worse, sadder wig of like, now there's an old woman on stage?
Yeah. I liked what Plasma was giving.
I thought she was like, she was going, like you could tell when like, oh, she really wants to win. Like she's going for it. And I appreciated that. But just that wig reveal was,
Yep. Yep, the curse of having to fit something underneath your wig if you're going to do a reveal. But yeah, again, but revealing to what?
There was some queen on one of the Versus the Worlds or the UKs I saw where Michelle was like, if you're going to reveal to something, you have to reveal to something like better. Not like, yeah. It was always just revealing to something like
worse.
Yeah.
And worse.
Or just even happened. A lateral move is bad too.
Yeah, like maybe it was even All-Stars 5 when Blair St. Clair just keeps revealing to worse and worse outfits. And they're like, oh, no.
Well, that's kind of if you keep doing that, though, and it heightens in a crazy way to a worse outfit, like you're eventually just in a garbage bag or something. Then that, I'm in. Or
you're that like is stained, genius.
Something that's like stained, you know.
That would be fantastic genius. Or if it's like on purpose in missing an element, like if you reveal and you're just naked underneath or even faux naked, that would be funny.
Yeah. Or you take your face off.
Yeah. That's so hard. It's what we're asking so hard. Take your face off.
They got 3D printers. Figure it out.
Now, it's clear that Tsunami Muse is, what I will say about her performance is that she is on stage.
She's very, I feel like she's ready. She's factually like, I'll just,
on stage.
That's the problem with, I think the size of the stage also makes it so easy for like queens to like disappear.
Yeah.
Because like there is somewhere to go. It's so easy. Like but you got to really fight for it. And you got to be like up and down stage in front, blocking people.
It's wild. A three-way lip sync is a curse. Maya Iman reprises the Free Willy jump. I did think Plasma did as pretty goddamn good. But again, at the end of the day, we exactly. all knew Maya was going to
of course
go forward in this lip sync.
Because Maya is an incredible dancer, mover, shaker.
But I do have a hot take I'm going to share with you after this break about Maya Iman LePage, Mark.
Okay.
It's going to boil you.
Oh.
Your skin's going to raise.
All right.
You're going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall.
No.
But first, silence. I feel like taking a break. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me de-crap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Bring back my break. We're back. Maya has moved forward. And we're now in the second 2.5 round of the lip sync. I don't know how this shit works, but we're into the next lip sync. I'll save my hot take from my I'm on the page for when she lip syncs next. We're okay. Back. We're in the second round-ish. It's Megami versus a mandatory meeting. And their song, what is their goddamn song?
The Shoop Shoop song. It's
this
kiss.
Is a fantastic song.
This is a fun one.
This is a fun one. It's a Cher song. This is a song that everyone in the fucking world knows, including our grandmothers.
But you know who doesn't know? Our granddaughters. I bet they don't know. They're like, what's this?
I know. Well, mothers, be good to your daughters is what a man who assaulted me once said.
Oh.
he's like known for being bad.
Honestly, though, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong for which part?
Despite everything,
he's not wrong. But Megami and a mandatory meeting. And again, we're gagged because Megami
crushed. She was so funny.
She was funny and she's doing Cher and she's giving lip.
She does a literal blowjob demonstration set to music.
Yes.
Well, while Amanda just kind of rolls around and like kicks her legs in the air like she's having a tantrum.
Now, okay, it's funny you say blowjob because it felt like she was kissing, right? But just kissing crazy.
She's kissing a cockhead, Mono. What do you think she's doing? She's like spitting on it.
Yes. Mono. Okay, to me, I thought that was
I think you
the,
could learn a thing or two.
That was the reversal. Well, you know, I do all teeth when I do blowjobs.
You're known as the scraper.
Yes. Some people have called me the Pac-Man terror because I all the way down to the base until all the pellets are gone. But yes, I mean, I got the dick joke of it all, but
oh, you did?
I thought
it was so subtle. I get the joke, Megami. I get it.
Hey, Megami, when you're doing that subtle thing, I got it.
Did you think I'm terrible with names. It like takes me to like week 10 to figure out everybody's names. I was constantly in my head calling Megami Mega Man.
Fuck.
And then I thought, man, this outfit, the blue and yellow, it kind of reminded me of something like Mega Man would wear. Like it was very Mega Man universe.
It was very Mega Man universe.
That's a big compliment for me.
That's a huge compliment. It was Tron. It was very Tron.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cute. I have to admit, it was a cute look, but I was like, oh, damn, we're going to look at her. It was an interesting outfit to see her in for, 50 minutes of the episode. I was like, damn, if only she had something else planned. It was a cute look. It's a great performance look, I gotta say.
So fun. I thought she killed in this.
She killed it. She was really, really good. Surprisingly taking down a mandatory meeting. A mandatory meeting, great lip syncer, but her style's so big that it didn't exist.
And she doesn't like
translate.
Milk. Like Megami's like so good at like milking the lyrics for humor and like finding something, finding like a comedic take on every line and like finding opportunities to have like moments or little bits scattered throughout as opposed to just like, I'm going to do a fun dance. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, this was a true, like, surprise and a true redemption for Megami this episode.
Totally.
And no one was banking on Megami, but.
But now I'd be so excited if Megami was on a bill. I'm going to see what Megami's going to do.
Yeah, this is what she promised when the season started. And let's talk about this next lip sync, because we have so, oh my God, I can't believe we have still so many more lip syncs. This next lip sync is Morphine versus Mirage. This one's very exciting. And this was the first one that I was like, she could have called either of them the winner. But I did agree that Morphine edged her out.
Of course. I know this song. Great song.
Great song. This was one of the more passionate, connected, sexy lip syncs of the night. This was a good one. This one was, you know, we're all excited at everyone, but this one was one of the matches where I was like, this could go either way because we are excited about Mirage's comeback. But right. Morphine's been fighting all fucking season for a win.
Morphine's a monster. And I wouldn't want to go up against any of these people in lip sync. I'm not prepared. And I'm just in a hoodie and jogger pants. So it's not going to be dynamic.
It would, honestly, I hate to say it, but it might be an unfair match, Mark. I want to believe in your talent, but
thank you.
The gray hoodie you're wearing is lovely.
Thank you. I got on sale at Tilly's. Shout out to Tilly's.
Shout out to Tilly's. That's tilly's.com/drag her.
I did. There was a moment though where like in Magam or Mirage is saying like, oh, Morphine's really going for it. I got to up my game. And then she didn't do anything.
I know. The editors were being cruel when they inserted that.
She continued doing what she was doing. All right.
No, it's like she already did that fun like fall into a split, which again I could have seen again. She was doing good, but Morphine was again giving more emotionality, and right. Mirage was giving click clack and slightly disaffected.
Right.
So yeah, Morphine
was incredible, especially like this is like her third one now or something, or second or third.
Mm-hmm.
This is her second, I think. It's amazing.
Second. Very good. Very exciting.
And it's hard when you don't have like the reveals to rely on anymore. Like, how do you top yourself?
Yes. I mean, topping yourself is hard. Incredibly hard.
I hurt my back trying to do it.
I broke my penis. Now all the girls are talking strategy. Did I cut off a topping joke you were going to say?
Nope.
All the girls are talking strategy and they're saying, oh, it would actually be smart because this weird next round is you can pick who you're lip syncing against and then the other person goes to the finale anyways. It's like, what?
Right. They're saying, like, no matter what, you have to go twice in a row, even if you want to, if you're going to make it to the end. So yeah. You're going to be exhausted. But I'm also assuming, I don't think, knowing how this show probably works, knowing how the show might work, I don't think they're like going immediately from like, all right, next lip sync now. We're ready already. You know, I feel like it's probably like 30 minutes in between, I would assume.
It might be 15 or 20. I'm just, okay, the reason I say that, it could be, I agree, it's got to be some amount of time because that's how film works. By the end, I could tell RuPaul was really ready for this to be over. Like she, right. She didn't milk the ending of like the queen who already done had, there was no milking. She was like, Morphine, let's go.
Come on.
Because unlike most episodes, this required her to be on set all day long.
She hated it. And also one funny thing. There was apparently a live audience of like 30 people, but they used the sound.
Oh my God,
made it sound
the
like
sound
they were in
was
a,
awful.
It was like the World Cup was happening. Like the sound of the crowd.
So bad.
A crowd of hundreds of people. But they cut to like, you see two rows of like stone faced people.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. The sound mixing was insane and crazy. And it's like,
they're trying to gaslight us.
They
like, wasn't it the SNL episode where like they put in a laugh track?
Yes, they always gaslight us.
I hate that.
I hate it. Don't do the sound. Don't do the stadium sound thing. Just let us watch the lip sync.
The SNL one, I watched that with our friend Steve Sloga again. He came over to watch it, but that was like, I'd only been home from the hospital, I think a few weeks. It's pretty early in my recovery. That was a dark night. I was like, this comedy is just going on and on and on, and none of it is funny.
That was a really tough episode. And I think that's the moment, if you notice, there's no other acting or comedy challenges after that.
Right. Can we ban, you know how like they did that one? What was like the fluorine characters were like, we're brain damaged sluts. Oh my God. That's like the drag, how in like our sketch world, we had to ban people doing Midwestern moms.
Yes. Like, it's like the same, tired.
It's hack. We've seen it. Come, we need that something else than a brain damaged slut.
Yeah, it's very easy.
And I never thought
to.
I'd say that.
Certainly based on your dating history, I never
Thank
thought
you.
You'd say that.
That's my type.
Yeah, truly. I mean, just big-dicked morons drooling. Just
Absolutely.
Drooling at their inability to keep their slack jaw mouths closed.
They love gruel.
Gruel. And they love hole.
You're sponsored by Gruel and Hole, right? Gruel and Hole, that's the new
gruelandhole.com/drag her. So now Megami gets her wish. She gets a rematch with the one and only Maya Iman LePage, and they're doing We Got the Beat by the Go-Go's.
This is the first song I ever remember like loving. Like the first song on the radio, like as
I
a
think
child.
I get that. This was a cultural moment. This was a song that could be in TV shows, be on the radio. It was
a song that could be on the radio. And what's the bigger
you.
Cultural moment?
I hate you so much.
That?
I hate you so
this
much.
This was a song that you could listen to.
I hate you.
Wow, Mono.
Mark. I hope your colon gets retoxic. I hate you.
I don't know where it is. They won't tell me.
I'm glad your colon got. I know why your colon was toxic, because it was sick of the rest of you
it
being
was sick
toxic.
Of me. I'm actually the healthy one.
I have to get out of here.
I like Googled. Like while I was like, let me see what the internet says about toxic megacolons, and I found like a subreddit. And it was just all like things. It was all like in subreddits called like r/gross pics, r/ like disgusting. And everything was like blurred out as not safe for work. I was like, I don't know if this is like the affirmation I was looking for. I don't know if this was the healing, the community. I don't know if this is like the support I need right now.
That's not helpful one bit.
Not at all.
To just be
I'm flagged, not safe for work. My
you're
body.
You're not safe for work. Your body. Disgusting, gross is not fair. Also, just for like a medical condition you've survived. It's just like, what the fuck?
Nasty.
Here's my hot take, Mark.
Yeah.
I don't think Maya Iman LePage is a very good lip syncer.
Well, she's got like her one bag of tricks, and that's kind of like, she doesn't do like emotion.
No.
She does like impressive feats. Like she is one, if we saw her live, we'd blow
lose
our
minds.
We'd lose our mind. But once you see it like five times in a row, you're kind of like, what else you got?
But that's what I'm saying. In the history of the show, we have had queens who are iconic and adaptable and able to give performances that truly elevate the song to an energy. I don't know if she's done that even twice. Like,
right.
She's not good at lip syncing. And we've been sold that she's the assassin. I don't think she's good. I'm saying it. I'm sorry. I know this is like crazy, but she does her flip, she does her things, but like this lip sync really solidified that like, I don't know if I ever want to see her on the show.
She's kind of ran her course, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We need to see, maybe, but she's also like, isn't she like pretty new at drag?
Yeah, maybe she's new. Maybe she can.
She's the queen of flips on TikTok, or is it all like she's like one of the TikTok queens?
Yeah, again, she does things I could never do with my body, but she will not go down in the I defy anyone to tell me she's going to go down in the history of the show as an iconic lip syncer like Coco Montrese or Anitra, or you know what I mean? Like people who are like
sure.
actually adaptable and change for the song itself. She just does the athletic thing she does. That's not what lip syncing
like,
is.
What would she do for like, you make me feel a natural woman? You know
oh,
what I mean? Like,
exactly.
What would she possibly do?
Again,
slow
yeah,
motion. You can't do a flip in slow motion.
No, no. We all know if you Kenya Michaels during that song, you go home, but.
How would you do this woman's work, Maya? How would you do it?
Please. I would love to see you do an Adele song. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
She would.
I can. Hello? No. Goodbye.
And I'll tell you, here's the thing about Adele. She has songs that could be on the radio, that could be
Mono,
in a movie.
That's so insightful.
So Megami wins. Gag. Megami gets her revenge.
What'd but also
think?
I feel like I thought that was great. Because also otherwise it's just Maya versus Morphine again.
Yes. Which
I was like, well, we don't want to see that. We just saw that.
I kind of thought that was a possibility, like the Miami revenge moment. We did just see it, but I thought that was a strong possibility until this song, which, you know, was not Maya's song.
They kept saying, like, Maya's so pissed. Look at her face. I'm like, her face always looks like that.
Her face always looks like that.
She's always just kind of, like, dead-faced. I think she is funny. I do think she... Oops, sorry.
God.
I'm so sorry. My Kegel alarm went off. I have to practice my Kegels three times a day.
I wish that was a joke, but it's not.
It's not. But, yeah. She's, what was I saying? I think Maya is like funny. I thought she was like one of the top three in Snatch Game, which isn't saying much this season.
It isn't saying much, but I agree. She knew how to give joy and stupidity, and that's a skill.
I just wish she could put that in her lipstick.
I know.
Has anyone came up? I did write down in this section a note, like, has anyone ever said lip stinker?
That's insightful, Mark. Thank you. That's the kind of insight.
It's a thought I had and decided to write down and then bring it up and tell you on a podcast. She's a real lip stinker.
It honestly is gaggy and iconic and should be on a t-shirt with a World of Wonder emblem on it. Lip stinker.
Let's call her canker sore because she's a lip stinker.
It is. Right. Is it like a kid's t-shirt or?
Yeah. You know, a Target hasn't gotten enough flag from idiots, so they need like a drag-inspired section.
It's my little lip stinker.
Yeah.
You should see how bad my little girl is when the fucking Dream Girl song comes on. She really shits the bed. She's a lip stinker.
That's all on a t-shirt? That's a little wordy.
So we're at the final. Megami makes it to the final. I agree that Megami was giving surfer vibes. She's given that more, click clack.
Yes,
she's having fun.
She just had fun. I think she was such a fun. That was one of the surprises of that. One of the more fun.
Agree. And again, yeah, that pink lady's foot shuffle she did. I was like, that's it. That's the song.
Is she the one or was that, what's her face? Who did the Protect Queer Art?
That was Megami.
That was Megami.
So she's really redeemed herself.
Yeah. The little sock puppet. That's the queer art she's talking about.
That's the queer art she's talking about, which again, before I even forget, we're at the final lip sync. The fact that Maya Iman LePage was like, that's not lip syncing. That's her hand moving. Like, again, proves to me that she is 14 years old. And the reason she has a sour face is because she just dropped her iPhone and she knows her mom will not buy her a new one.
Put in a bag of rice. Right, Mono?
Yeah.
That's what I told you.
Yes. If you shatter your iPhone. Oh, yeah. You were with me. Is that in Vegas?
Yeah. Your phone got wet.
It slid right into the pool. And then you can get rice delivered to your door or the Vegas hotel for like $30. They're crazy. Finally. And they know what they're doing. But it just made me laugh so much that my mom on the page was just like so, innovative.
That's why it's funny because it's dumb. Like she doesn't get it. She's very literal, I think. Maybe that's why she's not like humor comes as a challenge for her.
Yes. Yes. And my God, this song is great. Gonna make you
so
sweat.
Good. I'm glad that they saved this for the end as a surprise.
I'm shocked it wasn't a finale. Again, I don't know what the finale is. Maybe there's no lip sync for the crown with MTV songs. But oh my God, this is a good song that could have been the finale song. Unbelievable.
What do you mean MTV
songs?
Like, do they have a worse library to pick from or something?
Oh, I'm saying MTV is, they have a better library to pick from now that it's on MTV.
I see.
Or more money, however that works. But
when you watch, like, that is the other thing about like the UK or the Canada seasons. It's always like, you were asked to prepare a lip sync song to do Djibouti by, you know, Carrie S.
And then it was like, oh, Carrie S.
Oh my God.
She's from Toronto. I live next door to her.
This is a song you could hear on the radio.
You could. It could be in a movie too.
Oh, that's good. Or a TV show even.
Good.
Yeah, so, I thought this was really fun. I would have been fine
really fun.
If Megami won the whole thing. But also, I give this to Morphine, because Morphine had a great season.
Morphine had a fantastic season. The story was so good. And honestly, for once, her winning this did not feel produced. Unlike some wins in the season, did not feel that produced. But again, I mean, she gave, it really did feel like an Olympic style athletic endurance performance.
Because she did like four lip syncs or three or four lip syncs in one night. That's incredible. And she like fights every second. Like you gotta respect that.
Did they both do three with this weird math?
They must have. Yeah, who knows? I think they all did 27.
I don't get the math of it. But yeah, I agree that just like watching, I could feel like she's saying, obviously, in her talking head, she's like, the adrenaline's pumping in my body. I could feel that, like, she could have collapsed right after this because it was not human. It was,
and
like,
we would have been fine with that.
We would have been fine. We would have loved that. But truly, it just was like, yeah, you could feel the endurance and go, go, go of her performance. She wanted this.
Yeah. And it was great.
It was fantastic.
I hope this is how they do reunions from now on.
Yeah.
Just do a bunch of lip sync, because that's kind of the reason we watch Drag Race, is to see performances.
Yeah. Yeah. It really, I would be happy if this was the reunion format. We still get that little thing at the top of Plain. Yeah, you sure do say mean things. And, you know, Hershey, I sure wish I wasn't only in one episode. Like, we still get those things, and then we get to the fun of it.
What do you think of this final top three? Is this the one you would have predicted?
Yeah.
What does it matter? Who cares? I don't know. Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Thrilling.
What do you think? Obviously, thrilling. I wish I was there. This was not my fantasy. They were saying that a lot when I've watched this. In the UK, they say that more. I feel like this was not my fantasy of them being like kicked off. Like, I hope not.
Yeah, I imagine not. It was not your fantasy.
Yeah.
And Morphine wins, rightfully so. The queen of She Already Done Had Hers. She gets 50K. This, I also agree, is a great consolation. Honestly, it's a better prize than what second and third place will get, which is, I kind of think, is a gag.
What, like, do they get for second and third place? Nothing.
Nothing. But I'm just saying, it's an interesting, it's interesting. This wouldn't make someone, you know, throw the final challenge. But if this was an opportunity every season, you could almost argue. Because
this is probably harder than what the final challenge is. To win this is harder. If you're eliminated early, it's not. But I guess the finale, they're all going to have to do what? Be in like a verse number in a terrible RuPaul song?
I don't know. If I've heard gossip that it's one of those do your own songs, you know, like, we wrote a song for you called I'm a Slew Foot or something like that.
That everyone has to do. And no, we aren't biased.
We aren't biased. Everyone has to do a performance of this. We don't know who's going to win.
My name is Safira. That's the name of the song.
Hey, Miss Safira. I've won 4 challenges. Everyone has to do this song. Who do you want to win, Mark?
Safira.
Yeah.
Safira's so funny. I do think, I love Safira's lip syncs. Like, what she does with her eyes when she's kind of like, how she's like over wonderful. It in the lip sync, is, it makes me laugh every time.
Yeah, I agree. I adore her. She is the rightful winner.
She's got personality. She's got great looks.
But Nymphia, and she's very talented. Nymphia could win. I think you don't think.
Safira, people have said it's who makes Rue laugh. And I think Safira makes Rue laugh. Nymphia's not like that. Like, Nymphia's charming.
Mm-hmm.
But like, in performance-wise, like comedy challenge, well, they didn't do very many comedy challenges.
She wasn't always, she's one of those ones who's funny just talking. But if I you tell her to there. Be funny. Yeah, I think so too. I mean, but that's what I'm
Nymphia's
saying.
Nymphia's looks are incredible.
Incredible. It brings up the whole interesting, weird question of, is this show, do they pick the winner based on who they want to see on All Stars, or are we going to get just the true blue correct winner?
Well, how do you define what's correct? We all probably have different idea of what's correct. It's ultimately RuPaul. Like, it's whatever RuPaul thinks is correct.
Right.
I mean, it's not we're not doing a test in a chemistry lab where you have, or it's not math where there's an absolute right answer. It's all subjective.
Safira's talent.
I know that's coming as a shock to you. This is all subjective.
I usually feel more strongly about who could win. I think it would be funny if Plain Jane won, because to me, this season has been kind of a crapshoot. So to have a crapshoot winner, I think would literally kind of weirdly satisfying.
They've had a tie in All Stars. They had a tie once, right?
Yes, with Monet and Trinity.
But I think I would rather see, like,
I don't think we're
going
to get any other ties, though.
I think it makes more sense to have Plain Jane come back on an All-Stars than it would for a Safira to come back on an All-Stars.
Correct.
Because I feel like there's more dum-dums who just like a skinny white twink on the internet.
That's true.
So I think they would be more invested in an All-Stars with Plain Jane on it. And then you can give Safira the win, too, right now.
Safira deserves the win. And does she have a story on another season? I don't know if she does.
Maybe she gets her foot fixed.
She gets her foot fixed.
Anything could happen between now and the next season. Maybe she buys a motorhome.
That she's auditioned.
Her motorhome journey.
She's auditioned for the show 11 times, as she said on the last episode. So, wow. Which I like that she hasn't harped on. She hasn't harped on that story, which is also interesting. I was expecting to hear more about that, but she's just kind of been, she said once.
How much do you need to hear about that? Oh, what was time seven like?
Sucked. But oh, really? Nymphia.
Interesting.
Nymphia.
Nymphia's fun.
We love Nymphia, but do you think she's just too fresh? Too
fresh.
Unknowing of her own winner energy?
I think so. I think like she doesn't quite know how she's funny yet, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she is. I think she'll get there, which is why I would love to see her on an All-Stars. I think she, you know, let that banana ripen a bit.
Ooh,
I can see how at first I'm like, oh
make
my God,
banana
Nymphia,
bread.
Like out of drag is like such a little cutie. So cute. But
so
then like
cute.
The more that you spend time with Nymphia, like Nymphia would be exhausting to be around.
I do agree. Someone, I have friends like this who I can't have a single real conversation with. Like,
because it's always quick, quick, boop, boop, arr.
Like impossibility. And like when yeah. you're like, this conversation, I won't say a single thing about myself in this conversation.
And nor do you want to hear it.
Mark, remind us where we can listen to the pod. And I'm reminding everyone, the GoFundMe is below. And click, clack on that. Give a dollar if you got it to support Mark's recovery journey because it's been a motherfucker.
That's very sweet of you. You could follow the Patreon. It's patreon.com/biggaymoviespreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
That's all mm-hmm. I get. You follow me on Instagram, Mark Rennie.
Awesome. Those it. Links will be below too. If you like Drag Her Podcast, you can follow us at Drag Her Podcast on, you know, Instagram. And you can follow me at Mono Agapian. If you really, really love us, like deeply, truly, madly, deeply, you can give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Say some words and we'll read them on the pod. Like this one. Oh gosh, let me see which one I want to read. There's so many lovely ones from so many beautiful people. Oh goodness. How about this one? Okay. Did I say this one already? No. Okay. Great. 5 stars from Ginger Snaps 69. But actually, it is the only Drag Race recap podcast. Mono, you often say it as a joke, or maybe as proof of your vast powers of Delulu. But I did a search for other podcasts, and kudos, Mama, for spilling, because no one out there is doing it like you. Your energy, your quips, and your jokes make it an enjoyable listen, and you always have great guests, like Mark Rennie, who know what they're talking about. Truly, other podcasts are dour or completely unstructured or resentful of the show or just boring, a cardinal sin. And you are never that. I don't think people realize it takes hard work to put out a consistent, entertaining product. So thank you. Mark.
Wow.
That was nice.
Mono Agapian.
I know, right? I was like, I could see you cringing just to hear someone give me that many compliments.
No, I mean, they're not wrong.
It's very
the
nice.
One thing I thought of, like, that's true when they said like, oh, you aren't dour or like, this show is stupid and I should be on it. You know what I mean? Like, you're very, I know you genuinely love the show and talking about it.
Love the goddamn show. Love it so much that I host a parody of it called Bad Drag Race, which
so
you can get tickets for. We have a 420 show coming up this week. It's at Dynasty Typewriter. I host it with Oscar Montoya, one of our amazing friends. And it is a true love letter to everything we love about Drag Race, but with the crunchiest, ugliest, funniest drag performers in the Los Angeles area.
Maya would hate it.
Maya would
she wouldn't
like,
get it.
Wait, why are they doing that?
That's not good.
That they're not wearing a dress. Drag is a dress.
Drag is a dress.
Drag is a dress. Mark, I love you. Till next time, my dears. Let the music play.
Thank you, Mono. You're so sweet.
Was a HeadGum original.